The church in Algeria is very small and diminishing, but it has remained faithful in the most trying of circumstances, and central to its belief system is practicing what they call, I just love this, the sacrament of encounter. The sacrament of encounter. As they try to come to grips with how a tiny Christian community can manifest the love of Jesus in an overwhelmingly Muslim culture and environment. And it is the call to enter into relationship with the other. It seems sometimes that even here in Ireland, we are fast becoming a tiny Christian community also, a fact that is perhaps still masked or hidden by a fair degree of church going. This trend makes your task all the more vital. How do you facilitate such a sacrament of encounter over the airwaves for people? Those who receive the message are those who take time, who are prepared to stand still. They are the prophets, the mystics, the quiet in the land. Only when we have truly received it for ourselves can we seek to transmit it with any degree of authenticity. What if infinite love has set its eyes on us for itself alone? How high is our awareness? How good are we at unlearning? How do we ourselves cope with the gaze of love? We find it hard, don't we, to hold the gaze of another. We're a bit afraid of intimacy. We find it hard to let go and simply be present. I don't know very much about the field of broadcasting, but in the world of radio transmission, you cannot see the airwaves, and yet you know that they are real. In the world of the spirit, we cannot see soul waves, but we know that they are just as real. There is an unseen world all about us, just waiting to be tapped into. There are thin places, threshold crossing places all around us and within us. This three-dimensional world, this world of mystery, is not one that is unknown or inaccessible. Rather, it is mystery that can be profoundly known beyond the level of the head. Not so much an emotional experience as a deep heart understanding where we recognize, know again, our belovedness. On the edges of medieval maps, there used to be written the words, "Here be dragons." Only the courageous, those who had pilgrim hearts, those who could see beyond, ventured across the frontiers into another world. For us today, there are dragons aplenty, hinted at earlier. Chief among them is fear, perhaps especially fear of difference. And we who are Christian, who are called to be good news bearers, appear to have as many dragons lying in wait as anyone else. They will never be disarmed, never tamed, unless we set out on a journey and dare to cross the barriers that we have erected to safeguard ourselves. Once in the new country, we quickly discover that some of the monsters were figments of our imagination, arising out of our own ignorance. And the others, if approached with respect and understanding, withdraw their claws, and by and large can become a stretching and a challenging gift to us. Last month, I was part of a team with Jean Vanier facilitating a retreat in Tralee for 37 long-term L'Arche assistants from 18 different countries. Among many other gems, at one point, Jean said, "In front of the dragon of power, the love of the lamb is beautiful." The older I get, the farther I journey within, the more I appreciate the challenge and the invitation to be still. And initially, that stillness can be a fearsome place, taking me to the edges of my known interior world, to the borders where the dragons of multitudinous fears, of performance orientation, how am I doing, of regrets, roar and threaten to consume me. I'm out of my comfort zone. But if I remain there in the stillness, I gradually become conscious of the all-pervading presence of the Beloved. Infinite love has set its eyes on me for itself alone. And as I dare to look at the one-time dragons, and on one level to welcome them, I can sense the beginning of a process of decommissioning or taming. Some simply shrivel up and disintegrate, having no basis in reality. Others, as my understanding of how and why they came to be there grows, lose some of their fire and can almost paradoxically become gift, what the prophet Isaiah refers to as the treasures of darkness. Through presence, awareness and encounter, what seemed to be embedded in generational concrete begins to shift, this initially being apparent to others more than myself. Gradually and barely perceptibly, such an epic journey leads me across a threshold where I awaken to the wonder of looking out from a new source within. I am in the process of being transformed, and such transformation manifests itself in both contemplation and action. I become, come to be, a messenger who brings good news. Good news that is the rightful inheritance of every child of God. One of my favourite verses of scripture is the one quoted on your website, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger who brings good news." The good news of peace, of shalom, of total well-being. One of the loveliest images of God is of the Father running to welcome back the returning prodigal. Infinite love has yearned and waited and watched from a great distance and sees and recognizes the Beloved and runs. Did you ever notice how very often in the Bible people run? Especially if they've got good news to share. What is it that causes these individuals to run? I think it is awakening to the fact of who they really are, beloved daughters and sons of God. Experiencing the gaze of love, they unlearn what have been obstacles along the way, and they run to share their newfound awareness with others. For example, the gaze of love in the person of Jesus rests upon the Samaritan woman, enabling her to unlearn those parts of her culture, religion, and tradition that had blinded her to who she really was. And she runs to announce this good news to her community in such an effective way that they all come rushing to hear for themselves. Zacchaeus, out of his desire for something more, runs to climb a tree. The searching, inviting gaze of love causes him to hurry to a transforming encounter that takes place firstly in the privacy and the intimacy of silence, and then bursts upon the city of Jericho as good news in word and action. He unlearns what he thought was the road to success. Zacchaeus has discovered that nothing less than infinite love has the power to name who he is, son of Abraham, child of God. The disciples, having lived 3 years of intimacy with Jesus, followed by the trauma of the last week, hear conflicting rumours 2 days after his death. While still believing this to be fake news, some slight shred of hope causes them to run to the tomb, which they find empty. They begin again to unlearn, letting go of some of their fixed notions of how God should be and how God should act. Not knowing becomes a positive as they run back with their good news to those who are still hiding in fear. Through locked doors he comes with his gaze of love and his commission that they become good news bearers to all the world. Cleopas and his wife, returning to their home village of Emmaus with dashed hopes and shattered dreams, are joined by a stranger who leads them into a letting go, an unlearning of their interpretation of scripture, their two-dimensional seeing and acting and reacting. And his gaze of love pierces their despair, and recognition follows through the everyday action of breaking bread. They have winged feet as they run back to Jerusalem, so recently for them a place of nightmare, with good news. Good news is not forced upon people from above. Rather, it comes alongside with sensitivity and respect, tapping into the essence of the other, drawing them out into a new place, a wider, more open space. It comes embodied in a stranger on the shore, in a traveller on the road, in a gardener in a cemetery. It comes not so often with trumpet blast and flashing lights as in the stillness of an early morning, when the whole of creation seems to be standing on tiptoe, listening, attentive and aware. One of the most powerful pieces of broadcasting I have ever experienced was when the presenter paused deliberately, and what seemed like a few minutes, but was in reality probably much less than 60 seconds, communicated something almost tangible in the silence. An awareness of presence, a fragrance that lingered long after the broadcast was over.